Hello, hello, and welcome to the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grissom from Palace TV, which you can watch at cpfc.co.uk/Palace TV. This podcast is brought to you by Stirs, the world's first zero-waste coffee. Stirs are a proud local partner and hot drink supplier to the Eagles, supporting a more sustainable South London. It is still freezing at matches, so go on, try their great-tasting coffee and hot chocolate on match days or by visiting shop.cpfc.co.uk. And the lovely touch is that a portion of the proceeds from match day and web sales will be donated to the Palace for Life Foundation. Sup a cuppa, help young South Londoners. Perfect. Recently, Norwegian left-back Johnny Parr announced his retirement from football at the age of 33, so I was straight onto WhatsApp to ask Darren Ambrose for his number to get him on this podcast. This here is a chat that I've just had with him over the magic of the internet, me in the media room at the training ground, and him in a very cosy-looking jumper in deepest, coldest Oslo. He had a fantastic 3 years at the club where he won Player of the Year. So this is us talking about Palace and also what the future holds for him. And as you'll hear from the beginning, I'm not very good at small talk. Yeah. Whereabouts are you then? Are you out in...
In Norway, yeah. In Norway. Oslo.
How's retirement?
It's right. Not much of a retirement so far. I jumped straight into a new job, so it's just a lot of work. Of course, strange to not be playing football anymore.
Yeah, sure. When was the last time you were playing football? Was it this season?
The season ended in December, so I had some time to think after the season, and then decided that the knee was not good enough to continue. So
But you've had plans in place, haven't you? I was talking to Ian, who's the masseur here. He's probably the only member of staff that's left from when you were here. And he said that you were always doing... Were you doing some university course when you were here?
Yeah, that's true. I've done some studying my whole career, really, next to the football career. So I finished my master degree last summer. It was nice to have that in place when I was retiring from football to be ready to jump into something else.
It must be, I'm at the training ground now. It's probably only from when you were here, Ian, and then I guess Wardy and Wilf, the two players that were still here. Mm-hmm. It's changed quite a bit now.
Yeah, definitely. It's been it's been really fun to watch how the club has progressed since I left the club as well. We had a good run while I was there, and then just kept going strong. So it's been really impressive to see how well they've done.
Yeah, I think we've improved the facilities a bit. I'm in what was, when you were here, it was still a little bungalow, but it had a few little offices in, and then I think the porter cabins were behind, but now all those porter cabins have gone, and this is like a big media room. So we've got like an office and stuff, and it's nice. So did you see the shots of the new academy?
I have. Yeah, it looks really, really nice. So that's great.
Yeah, it's really good. But anyway, let's talk about you. I just wanted to kind of run through your career from the very start then. So you were born in Oslo. How would you describe your upbringing from a young age?
Well, I've early got an interest for football. Started playing when I was 5, 6. When I was playing at a young age as well, I always had focus on school and doing my homework and stuff like that. So it was like a package deal, play football, but you have to do your homework first. Started playing for my local team. It's a bit different here in terms of how you... it's more normal to just play for your local team. It's not so normal to start going around at the early age to different clubs and being scouted when you're like 6, 7, 8, 9. It's not very normal. So you play for your local team, and then at a point you start moving around a bit. And for me, the biggest change was when I started at not university, but what do you call the level before that in England?
It'd be like secondary school or sixth form.
Yeah, from when you're like 15
Okay, yeah, secondary school, yeah.
Yeah. So then I started at football academy kind of school, where you can combine football and education. And I started to play for Lyn, which was in the top division in Norway at the time for the junior team. And after one season, I got moved up to the first team there. Played one season when I was 17, and then moved on to Ålesund, which is on the west coast of Norway. A very nice little town. If anyone wants to see some nice scenery and travel to Norway, I can recommend Ålesund.
Yeah, so what were you, always a left back from a young age?
I was a striker.
Everyone was a striker, weren't they?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were strikers, yeah. So actually my first year at Lyn, when we played in the top division, I was a striker. And then started playing on the wing in the 4-3-3 system. Then we got some injuries, moved us left back for a little bit, and then got stuck there.
But you played for Norway before you came to Palace, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple of games. I was involved quite a lot from when I was, I think 20 or 21 was the first time. So yeah, got a couple of games before I moved over, and got some games while I was at Palace as well.
Did you speak fluent English like from a young age?
Pretty much. We learn English from, we're 6 years old in Norway, so most Norwegians can speak English quite well and understand it well. So that helps when you're moving to a new country, and at least you can communicate and speak the language. So, yeah.
And then, so it was Dougie that brought you into Palace back in 2011, wasn't it? When did you first hear of the interest, or did you know that the Palace scouts were watching you?
No, it was a lot of interest. I think maybe that was the spring that I had my first game with the national team. And I knew there was a lot of clubs watching me. And yeah, I was really eager to move out as well. So I didn't know specifically that Palace were watching me. But we had some game in the Europa League qualification with my team Ålesund. And I knew a lot of teams were watching those games, because then... they're a good way to see how players compare to different leagues that's a bit more common to them. So we played against a team from Wales, I think, or from Wales. It was only a couple of weeks before I was called up by Stefan Iversen, who was at the club at the time, who's Norwegian as well. And he just... we had a little chat, and he said, do you think this could be something for you? And I was positive, and from there it just went pretty quick, really. Had a chat with Dougie, flew over to meet Dougie, and together with my father, and had a good chat. Dougie explained his thoughts for the club and how he saw me and my position in everything. So it was a great meet, and made me really wanting to come over. It went quite quick from when I first heard.
Yeah, one of the things we learned when we were putting together the documentary was how good Dougie was at persuading people to come to the club. Was it pretty easy for you? You were already wanting to join the club before he even had to try and sweeten you by taking you out for dinner.
I think that was probably more easy maybe than other, because I was really eager to move out, and I thought Crystal Palace was a good opportunity, but still I knew there was a lot of clubs interested, and I wasn't 100% sure that Crystal Palace was the right move for me until I met Dougie. So he's good at explaining the way he sees football, how he wanted to work with the team, what his plans were for the future. That was good enough for me. Maybe really eager to be a part of that journey. And really glad that I ended up at Crystal Palace.
What was your first impression? Because it was a strange time for the club then when you joined. It was a year after we'd been bought by Steve Parish and the other owners, come out of administration, young manager who's still learning what he was doing, and a group of players that hadn't been there that long, because just a year before there'd been hardly any players left. What was your first impression when you got to the training ground?
Yeah, I was of course aware of the situation that had been before, a year before. But for me coming in, I didn't really sense a lot of that at the time I came in. It was a good, solid group of players, good team spirit, a good manager, a good club. So for me, I was more focused on the future and what was ahead. And I felt that was the mindset of the whole club, really, to look forward and to build something new. So, yeah, that's probably one of the reasons that it worked so well as well.
Did you have a great relationship with the fans from the start? Because, I mean, you tick all the boxes for what Palace fans like. You had the work ethic, like you never stopped running. Also, you're almost like this unknown gem, because Palace fans didn't know much about Norwegian football. You are the ideal Palace signing. Was it quite early on that you you felt the love from the fans?
Oh, definitely. I felt they were behind me the whole way. Of course, the whole team as well, cheering us on, and the support we had was massive. It was massive from the day I came, and it just, you know, kept building with us getting better results, and you know, it was just a lot of positive. Positive atmosphere around the club. Sellers Park, when it's full and you have the fans behind you, that's something special.
You're straight into the first team, first game of the season, weren't you? Was that did you expect to break into the team straight away? Was that something that was promised to you?
I don't think a lot of managers promise a position in the team, but of course I knew how they saw me as a player and the qualities they saw in me, and that they bought me and wanted to use me. I was in the middle of the Norwegian season, so I was match fit, ready to go. So for me, it was just to get some sessions in with the team and then be ready to play my part.
One thing I like to do is find out how much players remember about their debut. Your one, I mean, I'm going to get you to try and name the starting 11. There's two players on there that I'd forgotten ever played for Palace. I think yours is the most difficult one I've ever seen. Can you remember who your league debut was against?
It was away against... I remember after 30 minutes, I felt like I wasn't going to breathe again. Who was it against? Was it... I can't remember.
Peterborough,
that was it. Yeah, they played really well at the time. They had some good possession football. Yeah.
So it was 2-1 to Peterborough. Can you name Try and name the starting 11.
All right. Okay. Rufus Baroni in goal.
Correct.
They got one. Paddy McCarthy.
Yeah. Paddy.
Yeah. Not even sure. I think I was playing left midfield.
Yes, yeah, I think you were.
Yeah. So Moxie was maybe playing left back?
No, it wasn't Moxie.
Oh, right. It was, he was on loan, wasn't he? From Manchester City, I think.
Correct. That's good, because I couldn't remember this.
But what was his name?
Ryan McGiven.
Oh, yeah. Ryan, yeah. Okay.
He wasn't around for long. So, yeah, who was centre-back with Paddy then?
Anthony Gardner?
No, he wasn't in the team. This is the hardest one anyone's ever
had. I should have looked up this before. was he on loan as well, or?
At that point, yes, he would have been on loan.
Ramage?
Yep, Rambo.
Nice.
And then there's another loan player.
We had a bit of a tough start there, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right. Loan player on right back.
Yeah, I think so. It must be. Unless Rambo played right back.
It might have done. Who was the loan player?
This guy was on loan from Stoke, Andrew Davies.
Not sure, to be honest.
No, I can't.
He must have played one game. Right, midfield. So, yeah, you were on the left. So, central midfield two.
Righty?
Yeah.
Garvin? Garves?
No. No, it was a different central midfielder.
KG?
Yep, KG. And then there was an attacking midfielder. I don't know if you watch any English TV or listen to the radio, but he's always on the TV and the radio now.
Ambrose.
Yes.
Darren. I've seen that.
He's
seen
everywhere.
Him. Yeah, I've seen so. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Darren's playing. Okay.
And then two strikers.
Okay. Was Glenn playing?
Yep, Glenn was playing. And then this guy scored the goal, the one goal in the game. Young player.
Scans?
The academy. Yes, Scans, yeah. There you go, that's it.
Oh, that was actually impressive.
You did well.
I'm happy with that.
So that season was a strange one, wasn't it? I think it kind of started okay. The league form maybe went downhill after the League Cup. But that was the highlight. I mean, everyone remembers that season for the Man United game. What do you remember about that? I think you came on at half time, didn't you?
Yeah, I came on just before half time. That was amazing game. One thing that stands out, of course, is Darren Ambrose's goal. It's just ridiculous, to be honest. I can't remember any other goal that's the best goal I've seen, maybe, at least while I was on the pitch. It was just, crazy.
For that goal, obviously, all of our memory of it is what we saw on TV. When you think of that goal, in your head, do you see what you saw on the pitch at the time, or do you see what you've seen on the cameras since?
I think maybe a mix. I just remember at the time, or just before he had the shot, I saw they was going to shoot, and I was thinking, why are you shooting from there? Because I was coming up on the left wing, like wanted to have the ball. It was almost like, no, don't shoot. And then, you saw the result and it was just like, okay, good good choice.
Yeah. Was that game maybe a career high for some of you guys, beating Man United at Old Trafford?
Yeah, for me, I was a Man United supporter from when I was a kid. So just coming in there, playing at Old Trafford was massive. And of course, winning was amazing. So yeah, definitely a highlight.
Wilfried Zaha had an incredible game that day. Mm. How good was he back then when you were playing with him? He was quite raw.
Oh, he was amazing. I said at the time, or when I left, I've said many times when people ask me about the best player I played with or against, I've said him. And I'll continue saying that, because his abilities on the ball and his 1v1 offensively is just something different. So yeah, no, he was really good in that game, and really good the whole season. And of course, as he got a bit older and a bit more experienced, he just kept on getting better. So yeah, great to see how good career he's had, and fun to see that he's done so well for Palace.
He's very competitive in training. I guess you would have come up against him quite a lot, right? It was either him or Bolasie that you were having to train against.
Mm. Yeah, no, it was a good training environment to play against good players. So, no, it was tough to handle. Both him and Bolasie had something a bit different. But of course, as a player, you want to play with the best. And both of them were really, really good. Great guys as well.
And you had Paddy leading the team. He's doing really well as a coach here in the academy now. Is that not a surprise to you? Because he's quite
No, not at all. He was amazing when I came as well to, help you settle into the team. He was helping if you needed any help. He was always, he was just a really good captain and a great guy. So unfortunately, he had a lot of injuries, which... stopped his career a bit too soon, but great to see that he's gone into as a coach, and I've seen that he's been working he's going places there as well. So it's fun to see, and a great guy.
It was such a good season for you though. which ended with you winning Player of the Year. Was that a special moment for you?
Yeah, of course. That was I was 22 at the time. Had just come over to a big a club like Crystal Palace, playing my first year abroad, and to get that award from the fans and from the club was great honor, and it was really, really good for me. So also a highlight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to talk about lowlights, but so close to getting to the League Cup final, weren't we?
Yeah, we need to talk about that, don't we?
Have you taken many penalties since?
No, not one. not any before either. That was the one. So, No, it was another experience. It was, we had a really tough game away. I think we scored our own goal. We got a red card. We were just hanging on the last time in extra time to get to the penalties. And, a lot of tired legs. I wasn't supposed to take a penalty, but some players, just couldn't do it because they were just, completely exhausted or, So Dougie asked me if I could take one. I said, sure, I'll give it a go. Actually felt quite confident going up to take it, but unfortunately hit it wide. So, part of the game.
Yeah, but you still won Player of the Season, so.
Hopefully a lot of good things from the rest of the season was more important that one situation, but of course would have loved to have scored and kept us in the game. We had a chance if they missed the next one after that and then we scored, then we could have kept it going, but wasn't meant to happen.
So then we go into the next season with you and Dean Moxey. Was it good having such good competition for that place at left back? Did it both make you better players, do you think?
Well, definitely. I think so. I think, in every team you have good competitors, and me and Dino had a good battle for the left back position. I played a bit in midfield. He played some games as a central defender, I think, the first season I was there. I had quite a long period as a right back when Wardy was out with injury in that season. So we had a lot of good players and kept pushing to be in the team.
How were you guys feeling going into that promotion season? Were you expecting to be more of a mid-table battle, or were your eyes on getting promoted, or was it just after you started winning all those games in a row?
I think after that first season, as you said, up until maybe January, February, we had a really good run in the league and of course in the cup. And at the back end of the season, we had some injuries and we didn't have the biggest squad. So we got hit a bit harder than maybe other teams got injuries. So we didn't finish so well, but my feeling was that we had started to build something. We had a good team, a good base, and really had something to push on with for the next season. I remember a newspaper in Norway had like a tip of the table, how it's going to go, and they had Crystal Palace as second to bottom or something in that season. And I just remember thinking, well, that's a bit strange, like, based on the season we've just had and how the team looks, and we got some good players in as well over the summer. I was quite confident that we could push on and try to at least get into the playoffs. Went in with a good feeling.
It must have been so much fun in those games, after you lost the first three and then you went on that winning run under Dougie. That I remember as a fan watching that, some of the most enjoyable football I've seen us play, especially at home. Was it really fun for you to play in that?
Oh, definitely. That was just amazing. I think the first three games we were a bit unlucky. We had some mistakes, and it was just, but of course, not a good start, but still we weren't feeling as bad as losing three games in a row. At least not me, because I felt that we had a lot more in the team. But to manage to go on that run we went and just won so many games and picked up so many points in the next 15 games or whatever was something special. And as you say, we played really good football as well, created a lot of chances, a lot of goals. I think it was in that period we beat Ipswich 5-0 at home. We just had so much energy and enthusiasm in the team, and we had, you know, Wilf and Yannick on the wings, which just creating chaos. I think we had, I don't know how many penalties we had that season. Must have been like 15, 20 penalties. It was really, really fun.
And then Dougie leaves, obviously the manager that brought you in, and Ian Holloway came in. Did your game have to change at all, or was it pretty much business as usual for you guys in the back four?
No, first of all, it was sad that Dougie left. We had a really good thing going, and of course for me personally, as you say, he brought me over and gave me the chance, and I had a really good relationship with him. So it was sad to see him go, and would have loved for him to, you know, kept us going and stayed on, things happen, so we just had to cope with that. And Ian coming in with a lot of enthusiasm, a great character, just wanted us to keep going. As we saw in the documentary you guys made, there was a bit of different playing styles and playing philosophies and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, we all wanted the same goal. We all, wanted the same thing and did our best to try and achieve that in the way we thought was best. So, for me, it wasn't that much different. It was some different things and the way he wanted us to play and stuff like that. You tried to adapt, but at the end of the day, you just had to keep on pushing and keep on working hard and getting things to work with small little tweaks from Ian.
Such a shame that I couldn't, that we made that in a pandemic and I didn't get a little trip out to Norway to interview for the documentary.
Yeah, well, that would have been nice. But,
would have been nice.
Yeah, it's always fun to look back at, good experiences. But it was a good watch and well done on making it. But yeah, would have been fun to show you around in Norway.
Yeah, let's talk about what people said in that then. So Rambo described you as the perfect human. Mm-hmm. Did he used to say that to your face a lot? Oh, and he also said you'd be the perfect man to bring for a daughter to bring home to her father.
Yeah, so that was a massive compliment. So big thanks to Rambo. He said that to my face as well. It was a bit of a thing at the first little bit when I came over. And he got a little bit stuck, but yeah, I don't mind. It's just a bit of fun.
Did you used to be a roommate with Johnny Williams?
No, I haven't, but I spent a lot of time with Johnny. I think he's a wonderful guy, and he was young coming up when I came over, and really good player and a good guy. So we spent a lot of time together, but I don't think I roomed with him. I roomed with Wilf and then with Wardy when Wilf left. So with the two players that are still left in the club.
Oh, nice. And you, did you go to any, on the Christmas parties, the trip to Dublin? No one would really talk about that much when we chatted to them. I think it was Dublin stays in Dublin.
I'm not sure if, I think maybe I was, I think I had some family over or something from Norway. So I'm not sure if I went on that, to be honest.
Did you go on many of the social activities? Wasn't Aaron Wilbraham was the leader, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a really good guy. I had some different dinners and stuff and some social things. So that was, it was really good. I think, as I said, from the first day I walked into the dressing room, it was a really good atmosphere and a good group of players, with Paddy being a big part of that in the beginning, of course. And as you say, Aaron came in and was a really good character and good on the social part. And a lot of other people as well. So good team spirit or atmosphere.
You played so much that season. How gutting was it when you got that injury towards the end of the season?
Oh, that was not at a good time. You never get injury at a good time, but that was, of course, at a really bad time for me. As you say, been playing a lot and going into those final games of the season, pushing for promotion. Would have loved to been a part of that, but that's what happens sometimes.
There's two iconic photos of you from the final. One is the one where I think you're stood there with Glenn Murray and he's on crutches watching the penalty getting taken, which shows how good the team spirit was. Then the other one is you where you're sprinting onto the pitch. Were you aware of all of the photoshops that were made of that?
Yeah, I did see that actually. I got sent a few, a lot of different ones. That was quite funny. I remember being so nervous, sat on the side watching it, and when the final whistle blew, it was just, I don't think I'd actually run after the injury. Like, I hadn't started running yet, just forgot and tried to run out, and I think that was why I was a bit low, like, because my knee wasn't really following the movement I was doing, or the ankle, so it was just a bit low down. A fun photo, and
And then you make it into the Premier League. I guess looking back at you must regret that injury. Do you think that stopped you from playing as many games in the Premier League as maybe you should have done?
Oh, definitely. It took a lot of time to heal. It took a lot of really long time to get back. It was frustrating, and not good part of my career to be injured in that time. So, and I think it affected me a lot afterwards as well, with the stability in my ankle, and just wasn't quite the same afterwards. So not a good thing though.
And what are your memories of that Premier League season? Obviously, I think when you came back in, it was Tony Pulis, wasn't it?
Hmm. Yeah, memories are quite good, to be honest, because at the end of all that injury time and working hard and being frustrated, I managed to get back on the pitch for Crystal Palace and play in the Premier League, which was that was a dream come true for me to play in the Prem. So even though it was a really tough time and the injury took longer than I expected and all of that, it was almost even better to manage to get back into the team and to play again and to get my debut in the Prem. So I remember starting to play. I think the first game I came on at half time, and then had a little run of games after that where we did really well and managed to get some good results, and then I got injured a little bit, and then at that time we went on an unbeaten run or a winning streak or something like that for like 5 or 6 games. So it made it difficult to get back into the team. Had a couple of, came on late and yeah. So, but all in all, it was a fantastic season. I think it was the first season Crystal Palace managed to stay in the division, wasn't it?
You're right. Yeah, it was the first time we'd ever stayed up. Yeah. Because before that, it was just the top flight. So, yeah.
So great to have been a part of that, and of course really glad to manage to fight my way back into the team and being able to play and Tony Pulis as well, as you mentioned, great manager coming in at a difficult time, did a lot of good things, the right choices in terms of how we wanted to do things, simple and easy and effective, managed to get us into safety. So all in all, a very fun, good season, and of course, to be able to play against the best players in the world and compete at the big stadiums, it's a big thing for a guy from Norway.
Yeah, I guess a guy from Norway playing in the Premier League, was there suddenly more attention on you from back home when you were in the Premier League and you had like Norwegian rights holders that were filming the game? Did you have to do a bit more press?
Yeah, but nothing crazy. So that was okay. Norway or people in Norway watch English football a lot, like from I think 50 years ago, 40 years ago, it's been like English football has been the main thing they watch. So lately it's a bit more mixed with Spanish football and German football, but yeah, still Premier League is kind of the big thing to watch in Norway. So of course it was a bit more than normal, but yeah, at the same time it's part of what being a footballer is, and yeah, no problem.
But then at the end of that season you leave the club. I think it was a bit of a surprise to the fans, only 2 years before you'd won Player of the Year. How did it all come about, you leaving the club?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise to me as well. Not at that time, because we had a good chat and I knew how things were, and it was I really wanted to play football, of course, and I spoke to Tony, and he couldn't promise me, or not promise, but that I was going to play as a regular first team player, which I really wanted. We agreed on maybe speaking again a bit later after the summer, if things ended up like that. But then I got the chance to go to Ipswich, who were trying to build something, trying to get into the Premier League. It was a bit of a similar project as when I came to Crystal Palace. Maybe they were a bit better set for it, having a good position the year before. So then I chose to go there and try to do it all again. So it was a bit sad to leave, because I had a really good time at Crystal Palace, and I really enjoyed my 3 years, and I'm looking back at it, it was probably the best time of my career, both on and off the pitch. It was great. So so a bit sad to leave, of course, but at the time it felt like the right decision. I wanted to play as much as possible, and that's how it turned out.
You still in contact with any of your teammates?
I tried to keep in contact with Wardy, but of course it's a bit difficult living in different countries. But he was actually in Norway. That's a couple of years ago now, three years ago maybe, with his brother. And then I met them, and that was really nice. Try to keep a bit in touch. And Johnny Williams as well. He's not at Palace now, but try to. He's a Palace legend, so I guess he counts. So
Joel loves his adventure holidays, doesn't he?
Did you go
out walking with him or kayaking down a river? I think he's got a kayak.
No, he was doing some stuff like that when he was in Norway, but I didn't have the chance to go join him at that, but he came by Oslo before he went home, we had a nice lunch and showed him around a bit, and it was really good.
So what's next for you then, career-wise? We talked about you at the start doing your studies. What's your next profession going to be?
Yeah, I've already started as a chief growth officer at a company called Rebil, which is similar to Cazoo in the UK. We're not as big as Cazoo yet, quite a new company, but built on the same concept or similar concept to what Cazoo does. That's what I'm going to be doing going forward.
So what have you been doing some non-football work alongside playing then for the past couple of years to go straight in as chief growth officer?
No, not really. I started last fall as a with some analytics for the company, helping them out a little bit, do part-time next to the football. And then, yeah, when I was going to retire my footballing career, I had a chat with them to see what their thoughts were for going forward. And they were really eager to have me join. And then that's where I wanted to be. And it looks really fun. A lot of different things happening, a lot of work to be done, of course, but exciting to be part of something, to build something, and a good way to go when you're not going to be working with football anymore. It's, you can jump on to something other that's quite exciting as well.
I guess from the very start, from a young age, it's different to the players at Palace now. They don't have to think about the future so much because obviously the wages are different in the Premier League to what they were in the Championship. Were you always aware that it was something that you had to always plan for the future for when you finish playing football?
Yeah, and I think, you know, no matter how much I would have earned as a footballer, I always would have liked to have the chance to work with something when I finished. You know, you can only play football until you're, let's say 35 on average, maybe. So you still got a lot of good years left. For me, the wages wasn't really a big influence in that. I always had a, I always wanted to do some education and then to get my master's degree. And there's a lot of exciting things out there. I'm glad that I've managed to take it alongside a footballing career, which was tough at times. But, you know, if you take it step by step, then it's possible to get it done.
Right, we're going to finish with some... I asked some fans to send in some questions. So some quick-fire questions. Let's start off with the best and worst trainers while you were there. So who was the best and worst in training? No one ever likes to say who was the worst in training, but who was the best trainer?
I've already said Wilf, so I guess I have to keep that one. He was just amazing, and as I said, it's been really fun to see the career he's had, and and even though it could have been fun to see him at different clubs, it's especially fun to see him doing well for Palace.
You can have a go at who was the worst in training? Or the worst, who didn't enjoy training?
I don't really have a good answer for that. I don't remember anyone like standing out as not wanting to train or not enjoying it as much or not being I don't have anyone on that one.
And the same person, Alan, says, yeah, who was manager's pet? So who was... Do you have that phrase?
Sorry, one more time.
Do you have that phrase, teacher's pet, in Norway? Yeah. Who was the manager's pet when you were at Palace? It's probably you, isn't it?
Maybe, since I don't know the answer, maybe that was me. I don't. I say Johnny Williams.
Okay, yeah, everyone loves Johnny. Yeah. Another guy asked, the Hungry Runner, his name is, who's your favourite manager? I guess you can say in your whole career, who was your favourite manager?
I think I must say Dougie. We had a really good relationship, and as I said, he gave me the chance to come over, and which was the start of a dream come true for me. So, and the way he was as a manager as well, and what he taught me. Dougie.
And who was your most difficult opponent?
Difficult one. Of course, in the Premier League, I got to play against some really good players. It's difficult to say. It was so many good players. It's difficult to pick out one.
Katie says, my mum brought a cake up to Palace early one match day and gave it to Johnny. Does he remember it? And what happened to the cake?
I must be honest, I don't remember, but I hope Was it on the match day? She said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't have eaten it
before a match.
No, I don't think I would have eaten it. So I probably maybe just sat it in the dressing room and then we ate it after the game, celebrating the win.
And the last one. Oh, have you got any funny dressing room stories or any practical jokes that happened when you're at the club?
No, I don't think I have any good stories like that.
Who would have been the one most likely to play jokes on people when you're at the club? It's quite a professional environment, wasn't it? Damo and Mele.
Yeah, a difficult question. I'm not sure. But we had Aaron was quite a joker, as we spoke about earlier. Was good with the social stuff, and he could. Yeah, he was quite funny and can do some. Not sure.
So the company you work for, can Palace fans use that service, or is it mainly a Norwegian thing at the moment?
Not at the moment. It's only they can buy a car, but they have to keep it in Norway. for now it's only in Norway. So we'll see if we can. Compete with Cazoo in a couple of years,
You'll be on if you're anything like Cazoo, you'll be on every Premier League team shirt, won't you, within the next 2 or 3 years?
I've seen they've gone quite hard on the marketing bit, but they've had a lot of success as well,
And finally, when are you going to come back to Selhurst Park, come and watch a game?
Hopefully soon. I've been in touch with Steve Parrish and Christine Doubtful as well to see when I could come back. I was going to come over to the opening of the academy, but I didn't I didn't get to go. So hopefully I'll be able to come over soon. It's been a bit difficult the last couple of years with the virus. Hopefully soon. I'm looking forward to come back and see the people. I think it's still a lot of people around the club that's similar, and of course to see the players I know and to see how the club has developed, and it would be nice to come back and feel that Selhurst Park atmosphere again.
Yeah, we'll get you in front of the fans. It'd be nice for you to say a proper goodbye.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks for that. Thanks for taking the time out to chat to me, and good luck with everything in your new career.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and obviously, of course, thank you to Johnny as well for getting away from his high-flying businessman desk and talking to me over Zoom. I mentioned to Wilfried Zaha that Johnny said some nice things about him on the podcast, and all he could say was that he is the nicest guy. And it's true, Johnny is the nicest guy in football. So fingers crossed we'll see him in a Legends game one day back at Palace. And also thank you again to Stirs for the warm flavours consumed during the chat. I hope to be in your ears again very soon. Ta-ra.